this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mary Beth Yoder for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Flavor. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Taste of Home magazine and Real Simple magazine. And I also have an article from NBCNews.com, if we have time. It's very interesting. To start off with, I have What's in Season? What to Cook? It looks like cabbage, but this leafy Italian veggie is in the chicory family. Radicchio is what we're talking about. Often a supporting player in salad mixes, these assertively bitter leaves deserve a chance to shine, especially when they're at their peak in late winter and early spring. Shop! There are many varieties, but you're most likely to find Chioggia, which is spelled C-H-I-O-G-G-I-A, at the supermarket. Look for firm, compact heads. It's the one with the maroon color. Store to store it. When loosely wrapped in plastic, Chioggia can stay fresh in the crisper for several weeks. To cook it, for salads, mix with mild lettuces or thinly slice and toss with other bold ingredients like blue cheese, apples, and nuts. Roasting, sautéing, braising, and grilling will make radicchio more mellow and nutty and fade the dramatic maroon color. Serve as a side with roasted meat or poultry. Now, I have a recipe for you. It's still a little chilly outside occasionally, and there's nothing like a good chicken pot pie, and this one uses rotisserie chicken. So, rotisserie chicken pot pie, that's the name of the recipe, and this recipe serves six. You will need 1/4 cup, which is a half a stick, of unsalted butter, 1 yellow onion, thinly sliced, about 1.5 cups, 3 carrots, peeled and chopped, about 1.5 cups, 2 stalks of celery, chopped, about 1 cup, 1 teaspoon of kosher salt, 1/2 teaspoon of freshly ground black pepper, 1/3 cup all-purpose flour, 2.5 cups lower sodium chicken broth, 3 cups or 12 ounces of shredded cooked chicken from 1 rotisserie chicken, 3/4 cup frozen sweet peas, 2 tablespoons of chopped fresh dill, 4 teaspoons of Dijon mustard, 1 large egg, and 1 sheet of frozen puff pastry from a 17.3-ounce package, thawed. Okay, here we go. Melt the butter in a large oven-safe skillet, preferably straight-sided over medium. Add onion, carrots, celery, salt, and pepper. Cook, stirring occasionally, until onion is translucent, about 6 minutes. Sprinkle onion mixture with flour. Cook, stirring constantly until mixture is coated in flour, about 30 seconds. Slowly stir in broth. Bring to a vigorous simmer over medium-high. Reduce heat to medium-low. Simmer, stirring occasionally until thickened, 2 to 3 minutes. Remove from heat and stir in chicken, peas, dill, and mustard. Let cool for 15 minutes. Meanwhile, preheat oven to 400 degrees. Whisk egg and 1 teaspoon of water in a small bowl. Unfold puff pastry sheet on a work surface. Pastry should be a 9 by 9 inch square. Cut pastry into 16 squares. Arrange squares on top of chicken mixture, overlapping slightly to cover the filling. Brush the squares lightly with the egg mixture. Bake until pastry is browned and filling is bubbling, about 35 minutes. Let cool for 10 minutes before serving. Things cooks know. The magic of mushrooms. A basket of white buttons can make burgers burst with flavor. A bunch of shiitake can transform soups and stews. What sorcery is this? The pros explain. And this is from Real Simple Magazine. Mushrooms offer deep umami that's hard to get from other meat-free ingredients. Varieties to try? Cremini. McKinnon likes to roast these meaty, earthy shrooms, also called baby bellas, and add them to salads or serve as a side. Lion's mane mushroom. Fenn subs in this shaggy variety for steak and tacos. Cut big ones into slabs. Sear and slice. Serve with corn tortillas, black beans, and avocado. And then there's king trumpet. These mild, nutty beauties are good in nearly everything. The favorite way to cook them is to slice them thinly on a mandolin and fry them to a crisp. Oyster. These velvety mushrooms glow in clusters that can be cooked whole or torn apart. All right, mushrooms are having a moment. They're highlighted on restaurant menus and packaged into adaptogenic drinks and snacks. They even starred in their own buzzy documentary on Netflix, Fantastic Fungi. And according to the Mushroom Council, grocery store sales are up 20% over the past decade. The attention is well deserved. Mushrooms are loaded with nutrients and almost limitlessly versatile in dishes, says Hedy Louise McKinnon, author of the beloved veggie-centric cookbook, Tenderheart. Mushrooms play a central role in my cooking, she says. From a flavor point of view, they offer deep umami that's hard to get from other meat-free ingredients. Even dedicated carnivores can find the fun in fungi. Read up, and just like these earthy nuggets, you'll have it made in the shade. The fresh kind. When it comes to mushrooms, looks do matter. Buy ones that are plump with a smooth, dry, bruise-free surface. Store your bounty in a paper bag in the fridge, and aim to eat them all within a week. Sooner is always better. To wash or not to wash. Andrea Gentle, author of Cooking with Mushrooms, prefers gently brushing away dirt with a clean kitchen towel. If you feel they need a rinse, do it quickly and wipe them dry, she advises. Avoid soaking fresh mushrooms in water because they can get soggy. Once they're clean and dry, slice or chop classically shaped mushrooms, like cremini and shiitake, with a knife. Pop off the stems if they're tough and save them for your next batch of stock. Tear shaggier varieties like maitake and oyster with your hands. All the ragged edges make for a beautiful surface area for crisping up in butter, olive oil, or ghee, Gentle says. That's the fresh kind. Now the dry kind. Don't overlook dried mushrooms, a pantry essential, says Annie Fenn, MD, author of The Brain Health Kitchen. You'll likely find porcini, reishi, maitake, shiitake, or a blend, usually in the produce section. Grind them in a food processor to make an umami bomb of a seasoning, or rehydrate them and use them to flavor soups, sauces, and a million other things. McKinnon recommends a long soak, up to 24 hours in cold water. In a pinch, put them in boiling water for 20 to 30 minutes, she says. Either way, be sure to save the liquid. Strain out the grit at the bottom of the bowl. That stuff is gold. The health benefits. Mushrooms may not have the same glowing nutritional reputation as, say, broccoli, but they should. Marissa Moore, RDN, author of the Plant Forward Cookbook, The Plant Love Kitchen, shares a list of benefits. They have B vitamins and antioxidants, and when they're exposed to UV light, as many supermarket mushrooms are, they're an excellent source of vitamin D. Perhaps even more exciting is what they do for your brain, says Fenn, who points to a 2019 study in the Journal of Alzheimer's Disease. Eating more than 2 servings of mushrooms a week reduced early dementia risk by 50% compared with those who ate mushrooms less than once a week, she explains. And finally, a couple of cooking tips. Fresh mushrooms can be sautéed, roasted, grilled, seared, or fried. They're pretty hard to mess up as long as you follow these pointers. First, don't crowd the pan, Gentle says. That prevents their liquid from cooking off and can result in a soggy texture. Second, unlike with most vegetables, which you season at the start of cooking, Fenn suggests holding your horses with mushrooms. Salt draws liquid out of the fungi, which may delay or prevent mushrooms from browning. So season them toward the end of cooking. Plus, mushrooms shrink in the heat, so you may end up needing less salt than you thought. And then I've got White Button. Make burgers using 3 parts ground beef and 1 part white button by weight, Moore says. Finely chop and quickly saute them. Then mix in 2 raw meat. For maitake mushrooms, this kind, also called hen of the woods, is fabulous, roasted or sautéed. Gentle loves them dried, ground, and sprinkled on popcorn with nutritional yeast. And finally, shiitake. McKinnon is a fan of their robust flavor and texture. They add wonderful chew and savory depth to braises, stews, and stir fries. Now I have a nice short article for you. How to pair wine with anything. According to Vanessa Price, author of Big Macs and Burgundy, you can get it right while also being totally laid back about it. Pairing wine and food can seem oh so serious, like if you don't match your meal with the exact right varietal, you'll not only be doomed to a dreadful dinner, but harumphed out of the restaurant or your kitchen, where those wine snobs in your head are waiting to judge you. The pressure is enough to make me throw up my hands and open yet another bottle of Sancerre. But pairing is a thing for a reason, says sommelier Vanessa Price, who's a managing partner at Mavericks Montauk, a beautiful, buzzy restaurant in Montauk, New York. The wine you're drinking and the food you're eating may be delicious on their own. When they work well together, though, you get a crescendo of yumminess. That goes for a fancy restaurant meal or a frozen dinner. Price talked me through her pairing philosophy and even gave me a cheat sheet for some of my favorite foods. Look at the star of the dish. You've surely heard that white wine goes with fish and red wine goes with meat. That's only half the story, Price says. First of all, are we talking a delicate flounder or a meaty tuna? With a white fish, I would choose a lighter white wine. White. So the wine doesn't overwhelm the food. With heartier seafood, you have more options. Salmon with Pinot Noir is a new classic pairing. Both are sort of medium-bodied. As for meat, you want a wine with more weight and volume, because the reverse of the fish rule applies. The food should not overwhelm the wine. But that doesn't necessarily mean a red. Whites get oomph when they're aged in an oak barrel. Think most California Chardonnays or Marsal from France. These wines feel heavier and more buttery. Or the supporting ingredients. Pinpoint your meal's dominant flavor: acidic, sweet, bitter, savory, or spicy. The hardest flavor to pair is bitter, Price says. That includes anything super green, like asparagus and artichokes, or even dark chocolate. But you can work around that by considering what else is going on in the meal. Is the asparagus drizzled with a rich brown butter sauce or served with cheesy potatoes? Focus on pairing the other elements on the plate. There will usually be something else to work with, Price says. Think in terms of opposites or similarities. Now that you've ID'd the flavors in your food, you can come up with a contrasting pairing that creates balance in the meal, or go matchy-matchy with a wine that mirrors the food. For example, fried chicken is rich and savory. Champagne, with its crispness and effervescence, cuts through the fat and cleanses your palate for the next bite. That's a contrasting pairing, Price explains. A congruent pairing would be that buttery, oaky Chardonnay again. It will be just as rich as the chicken. Both are fantastic choices. And finally, stop stressing it. Usually, a bunch of wines will work with a meal, and the more you experiment, the more you'll gain an instinct for which pairings you prefer, Price says. And you know what? You can always ask a sommelier if you're at a restaurant, or a salesperson if you're at a wine shop you trust. At the end of the day, Price says, this isn't some super serious thing. My best advice is to have fun and learn as you go. And then I have a list of matches for you. Meet some matches. Price suggests specific pairings. Creamy cheese like Brie. A white Bordeaux, which is a blend of grapes like Semillon, Sauvignon Blanc, and Muscadelle. It's a crisp but has more texture than a Sauvignon Blanc. Chips and guacamole. You would want to serve cava. The little bubbles will cut through the fattiness of the guac. Kale Caesar salad. A rosado, rosé, from Spain is an excellent counterbalance to the salad's saltiness and bitterness. Chicken tikka masala. Zinfandel's slight smokiness makes it a good complement. French fries. Champagne and French fries are the power couple that could rule the world. Veggie burger. Try a grassy, herbaceous Sauvignon Blanc, like one from New Zealand. Honey-baked ham. Petit Syrah from Paso Robles, California, is a dark, bold red that can stand up to the salty, sweet pork. Sushi. Gruner Veltliners, which is G-R-U-N-E-R, and then Veltliner, V-E-L-T-L-I-N-E-R. Gruner Veltliner's crispness, acidity, and minerality are strong accompaniments to the umami here. And last but not least, Cheetos. Serve a Sancerre. The salty cheesy snacks absolutely require a crisp, high-acid wine like this Sauvignon Blanc from France. It's a truly ideal pairing. And I've got something else for you. 5 truths about olive oil. You'd be hard-pressed to find another pantry ingredient that's so popular, yet so misunderstood. Let's pour on some facts. It's a safe bet that olive oil, the cooking fat of choice for most food personalities, not to mention our own food team, is a mainstay in your kitchen. Recipes default to it as a healthier option in home cooking, and its greenish bottles are ubiquitous on grocery shelves. Yet, despite its popularity, an air of mystery and plenty of misinformation surrounds it. We asked experts to set the record straight so we can all glug, drizzle, and dip with confidence. Extra virgin olive oil is indeed the best. EVOO is made from nearly perfect olives picked fresh from the tree, explained Skylar Mapes and Giuseppe Morisani, authors of The Olive Oil Enthusiast and makers of Exau Olive Oil. They're mechanically milled without any chemicals or heat, also known as being cold-pressed, Mapes says. Regular olive oil, as well as light and pure olive oils, really just marketing terms and not regulated distinctions, tend to be made from inferior olives and are refined with chemicals, heat, or both to remove color, aroma, and flavor, resulting in a blander product. Regular olive oil is still a healthy cooking choice, says Selena Wang, PhD, Associate Professor in the Department of Food Science and Technology at the University of California, Davis. But since it's been refined, it doesn't offer quite as many health benefits as antioxidant-rich extra virgin olive oil does. EVOO has a moderate smoke point. Smoke point is the temperature at which oil begins to smoke, potentially imparting a burned or acrid flavor to food. Despite the rumors, EVOO's smoke point isn't all that low compared with other oils. Olive oil's smoke point ranges from about 350 degrees Fahrenheit to 470 degrees Fahrenheit, depending on the grade, quality, and freshness, Wang says. For context, grapeseed oil's smoke point is about 390 degrees, canola oil is 400, and peanut oil is 450. EVOO's smoke point will likely be on the lower end of that range, but most everyday stove cooking isn't done at blazing temperatures. Even deep frying isn't out of the question, since it's usually done at around 350 degrees. If you couldn't fry in olive oil, there wouldn't be any fried foods in Italy, Morisani points out. Olive oil can go bad. Think of olive oil more as fresh juice than fine wine. You should consume it sooner rather than later, Mapes says. Otherwise, it could become rancid, taking on unpleasant flavors and aromas. How you store the stuff at home can affect its longevity. Olive oil's worst enemies are light, oxygen, and heat, Morisani says. They can cause the oil to oxidize and therefore turn at a faster rate. We recommend storing bottles in a cool, dry, and dark place, away from appliances such as the fridge or oven, and use bottles within 45 days. Also, choose glass bottles that are tinted or opaque so less light gets in. Color does not correspond to quality or flavor. It's easy to think that a darker or greener oil will have a deeper flavor or be healthier, but color actually has nothing to do with it. An oil's hue is influenced by olive variety, harvest time, and other processing variables, Wang says. Pigments also diminish with time, so the oil will become less green as it ages. Two bottles are better than one. Sure, you could get away with owning just one bottle of EVOO, but the pro move is to follow the lead of Ellie Krieger, RDN, host of the podcast One Real Good Thing, and author of the cookbook Whole in One. So whole is spelled W-H-O-L-E, whole in one. I keep two types on hand, a less expensive bottle to use for cooking and baking, and a more expensive one with bigger flavor to use for drizzling on finished dishes and in dressings. That less expensive oil, which you're sure to blow through, can be milder, so it doesn't change the taste of, say, muffins. The drizzling one can be bolder. Think fruity, peppery, or grassy. And then I have a couple of options we love for cooking. California Olive Ranch 100% California oil. This mild EVOO, buttery and only a tad zingy, works in everything. And you can find that at CaliforniaOliveRanch.com. And then for finishing, Brightland Alive Olive Oil. Grassy and fragrant, this giftable oil comes in a pretty bottle and elevates dishes. Try it on top of hummus or sprinkle with a little salt and dip bread right in. And you can find that at brightland.co. And I'll get through this next one as quickly as I can. I hope to finish it up. This is from Taste of Home magazine. small yet mighty. Don't let their size fool you. Chia seeds may be tiny, but their health benefits are enormous. Abundance of acids. A little known fact about chia seeds is that they're a plant-based complete protein, which means they contain all 9 of the essential amino acids that can be produced by that can't be produced by the body and must come from the diet. They're also a rich source of omega-3 fatty acids, which can reduce or decrease cholesterol, blood pressure, and inflammation. Better bones. Chia seeds are naturally chock full of vitamins and nutrients. They also contain particularly high amounts of magnesium, phosphorus, and calcium, which are vital for overall bone health and maintaining bone mineral density. In fact, 3 tablespoons of chia seeds contain more calcium than a glass of milk, or about 18% of your daily value. Good for gut health. Along with being a great source of fiber, each 1-ounce serving contains 10 grams. Chia seeds boost vitamin and mineral absorption in the stomach. They can even act as a prebiotic and age your stomach in the production of quote-unquote good gut bacteria, which in turn keeps your digestive system working properly. So go ahead and eat up. Easy Almond Joy Chia Pudding. Mix 1 cup of unsweetened coconut milk, 4 tablespoons of chia seeds, and 3 tablespoons of maple syrup. Remove half of the mixture to a small bowl. Stir in 2 tablespoons of baking cocoa until blended. Refrigerate both the plain and chocolate mixtures covered until thickened, at least 6 hours, in each of 2 dessert dishes. Layer 1/4 of the white pudding, 1/4 of the chocolate pudding, 1/4 cup of semi-sweet chocolate chips, and 1/4 cup of slivered almonds. Repeat the layers. Serve immediately or store in the refrigerator for up to 3 days. And that recipe, using those yummy and nutritious chia seeds, makes 2 servings. We've run out of time for today's episode of Flavor. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Mary Beth Yoder, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Flavor is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.